This is Radio Rakel, your feminist radio on FM 99.3, and today my very special guest is Tim Scott McConnell, better known as Leadfoot, and welcome.
Thank you for having me.
This is the first time I was talking to you. This is the first time I'm trying to do this over Zoom, so let's just get that clear just from the beginning. So how has your day been?
It's been okay. You know, it's a lot of time in the studio now, so gives me a reason not to go out in public, which I guess is a good thing.
Yeah. And you are in your studio. I see four instruments behind you. It's an acoustic bass and a 12-string guitar or something. Tell me.
There's an acoustic bass and two 12-strings and an 8-string.
Cool. Awesome. You have a release coming up soon, right?
Yeah, it's coming out in, I guess, about a week and a half. And it's the record's called Black Valley. So, and I'd love to tour with it if I could, you know. But things, it's, but yeah, I think we have two singles out now, and the next single will be coming out soon, so.
Cool, and we will be listening to some of this music soon. I just wanted to say quickly how I discovered you, and it was during the lockdown. There were concerts streamed, and then I was checking out the video later on, and I had my little daughter on the lap, and then we just like instantaneously fell in love with this music. So I was very happy that you wanted to join me here in the studio, and we will be talking a little bit about your music and your thoughts on the music and yeah, whatever, how it goes.
Great. Yeah. Those are strange. It's strange doing Lips concerts. It's kind of like being a little kid where you're pretending there's an audience there when there isn't, you know, and you've got like a towel around your shoulders, like it's a cape. There's something so surreal about it. So.
Really? Yeah. You did well. You looked like you had done it many times.
Yeah. Not so many times without people.
Oh yeah, we hear a little bit of the guitar. I'm not sure how the quality is going to come out, but nevertheless, I love the ambience of the guitar. And that's actually something that we should say straight away as well. I mean, you have your own genre of music, more or less, gothic blues. So what's special about it?
Yeah. Well, it's I kind of, when I started doing Leadfoot, I took a lot of, I'm from the South, you know, in the States. So I originally talk like this with a Southern accent, but I learned to talk for y'all so you could understand me.
Nice.
But I grew up in the South on Southern music, and my first instrument was banjo, actually. And after about 20 years of making records and stuff, I just wanted to do something that was kind of all of that mess that was my background kind of put together into one thing. So I nobody tunes their guitars like I tune them, or really kind of plays the way I do. And I didn't really know what to call it, so I thought I'd give it its own place.
Yeah.
And it is blues, you know. When I say gothic, I'm not talking about The Cure, you know. I'm not talking about goth music. I'm talking more about that kind of gothic literature or architecture, that where there's this intricacy to create kind of like a bold statement, you know. So it's like, instead of playing a chord, you just, and so I just thought that those two made sense to me.
Yeah, you're plucking it rather than strumming. It sounds great. I mean, everybody should listen to it. I mean, maybe we should just have a listen to one of the songs already, actually. Which song do you want to start with?
Well, I ask myself that every time I do a concert. This is a weird song, but there's a song called Broken Eyes, and which is kind of like one of my favorite songs on the new record. It's kind of an ambient song, but it kind of like made a whole lot of sense with the kind of isolation that you get with Corona and everything like that. So it seems appropriate.
All right.
It's appropriately depressing.
Okay. The good thing about depressive music is that it actually doesn't make you necessarily feel more depressed. It can be very comforting. So, but let's listen to
it. Yeah, it's hard.
Let's not talk about the future. I don't need it fucking with my mind. I'm not chasing after rainbows. I'm colorblind. With broken eyes. Nothing said here is important. Since my walls came tumbling down, bow your head and run for cover, but you cannot hide from my broken eyes. The point of being free in the dark. I've stopped looking for an answer. Now I've lost my will to dream. Can't fix my sight with reason. I won't even try.
Yeah, that was very beautiful. So this was Broken Eyes by Leadfoot. Thanks for sharing this. And so this song is from your upcoming album?
Yeah, Black Valley.
So this shows more like what the Gothic blues sounds like. And maybe you could tell me a little bit about your technique to produce this, this dark sound.
Well, I'm pretty like old-fashioned in my approach. I don't really fix things. I don't really like overdub kind of. I just sit down and play the fucker, you know. So this record was like it it was right when lockdown started with Corona, and I was up in running the Tech Row studio, which is where I work all the time. And we basically just went in and did a song a day. And, you know, at the end of 10 days, it was done. So
one song a day? Does that mean everything like that, you come up with the lyrics and the chords, everything and recording?
Well, no, I mean, I have like, you know, I'm a compulsive songwriter. So I had a lot of songs and some of the songs are, you know, 6 months or a year old. And some of the songs I wrote, you know, the night before. And, but it was just the two of us in the studio. I'm playing all the instruments, and then it was my engineer who I work with, Shartan. And so it was a really quick process where we didn't really kind of look back. And I like working that way. I think that like people underestimate the beauty of an attempt to do something as opposed to a perfect version of something. And I think that too often it's like with modern records, it's like everything is perfect. And I can't stand to be next to perfect. I like the humanity that spontaneity and just, you know, it's like nobody really cares about a beautiful long note. The only thing they care about is the way the note ends, the way you fall apart at the end, or the way you started the note. But hitting a note is like, you know, isn't that important. Hitting the emotional content is, you know, really what you're looking for. And then you're better doing it with a spontaneous, you know, reaction.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I was also thinking of, like the instrument you play, you use a bottleneck or something to...
I use a big, a piece of brass pipe. I use a lot of different open tunings, and a lot of the Leadfoot music comes out of the fact that it's really a pain in the ass to play in an open tuning. you're so constricted by what you can actually do that you find yourself going into chord inversions or really deconstructed chords that kind of are like instant atmosphere, you know. If you're like, you know, like down in Black Valley, you know, it's just the very nature of playing a screwed up instrument gives you a screwed up voice, which is, is a lot of what Leadfoot. You know.
Yeah, I love it. Just want to say just a quick note here. I'm not sure how well the sound comes through on this recording. So just so but it's great to hear it anyway. I have listened to some of your music, so I know how it sounds like. When you play these things, I kind of fill out the gaps or them. I know how it actually sounds when you play it live. I just want to say it for the listeners that in case the sound isn't great, it's just because we are over Zoom.
But everybody knows that. I'll show you what I mean.
Keep doing it, please.
It's like if I, you know. Down in Black Valley, where nobody goes, I left my true love alone in the cold, down but the very nature of these guitar tunes kind of puts you in a G chord. Doesn't sound like a G chord. Chords don't sound like they should sound. You know,
but by open tuning,
which is helpful.
Do you not even have bands on your guitar? Is it a fretless?
No, I have bands, but my guitars, the strings are all, it would be like if you took a piano and every time you hit a key, it was not the note it was supposed to be.
Yeah, okay.
That it's tuned different. And
maybe you can say some examples so that non-guitarists can also understand, you know,
this one is tuned in a minor tuning. So it has voicings that are completely different, and then
I know that song.
That one has a completely different voicing. Every guitar has a different tune, which is kind of means that the whole guitar is tuned to one key, and when you try to go out of that key, you get really beautiful, ugly things.
Oh yeah, yeah, I know what you mean now.
So
yeah, it's tuned specifically to that key, and then when you play other things, it sounds a little bit off, but it's beautiful. Right.
Well, it's a very chromatic way of writing music, you know.
Yeah.
I like cluster chords. I like ugly chords.
Yeah. It's beautiful. So those were chords from your song Mean to Me. So I'd love if we can listen to it as well. Mm-hmm. It was one of the first songs that I heard of yours, and it's very... Yeah, I really love that song. So I'd really love to share it here in this radio show.
Yeah, I'm not sure what version you have. You know that song is
I can show
I think
you.
He only recorded. Oh, okay.
I can show you which one I mean, and then you tell me if we can play it or if you rather jump to another song. I just want everybody to notice Mean to Me is a very beautiful song. So this is the version I have. From Gothic Blues Volume 1.
Okay, yeah. Okay. That's cool.
Yeah. Okay, so we can listen to it and then. Sorry?
this version is Gothic Blues. I recorded that record literally one take.
Yeah. Wow. So
every song on it is just. We started recording the record at 10 o'clock at night, and we finished it at 12 o'clock at night.
Amazing.
So it is, it's a very good representation of what I do live, I guess, depending on how drunk I was when I recorded.
Okay. So here is Mean to Me with Leadfoot.
Joke I'll never get. You're the reason. last a good long while. That's what you mean to me. Yeah, that's what you mean to me. That's what you mean to me. That's what you mean.
Yeah, it's such a beautiful song. And you're singing, that's what you mean to me. And you're a shadow on the wall. You're a drunkard in the hall. Your face I can't recall, etc. And would you like to get into what this song is about?
Yeah, that's interesting. It's actually the only song I ever wrote to myself. So it was really just this kind of primal way when you look in the mirror and realize that you don't, you know, there's times where you don't recognize yourself, that all your faults were born out of your own actions, you know. So it's actually a song to myself.
Yeah.
Not narcissistic way, because it's
no, I know. I've read the lyrics.
You know, but it was basically, you know, there's so much about songwriting where you look out and you project either your view or your emotions and everything into a context. And I realized that's kind of almost always kind of objective. And I just thought I'd write a song that was just, you know, looking inside and pulling out this and this and this and this and just writing them down to myself, you know.
Yeah, it's very, I don't know, it's very strong. It's a great thing to do. It that the songs feels really, really close.
Yeah, well, if we, you know, it's songs aren't worth much if they're not close. That's the very nature of a song, is that it should some way become close to you.
Yeah. I'm tempted to go to a very different song now, which is kind of opposite. Dead Man Can Do. I mean, it's so fierce. I don't know. It's super dark. Would you be happy to talk a little bit about that song too?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's dark in one way, but it's kind of a song of resurrection. You know, it's realizing that the very things that almost destroy you make you stronger. You know, and and it's kind of like, it's just kind of like that you realizing that you have the capacity to constantly get up out of the mud and do it again.
Cool. I love that attitude.
It's a, you know, it's, I learned it, my family, I come from like, you know, I'm like Irish and Cherokee, and my family is all like hillbillies and Indians. So, and there's very much, you know, it's, that's a very common, you know, trait in Norwegian society too, that kind of like stoic, just fuck it, just going to get it done, you know? So that's what the song was about.
You'll be surprised what a dead man can do. Say it with a Southern accent.
Well, I don't know if he said, you know, you'd be surprised what a dead man can do. It depends on where you come from, you know. Where I come from, talk really soft. We have kind of a soft Southern accent, but I have those who say it a whole different way.
I love it. Okay, so let's listen to it as well. And then we do more talking later on. I mean, you said that this is going to be like, I will just suggest things and then you will be happy to go along with anything. So
yeah, you know, it's, whatever mistakes I've made in public, I'm fine living with them.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, play away.
I've been around, trapped inside. I've been left out lots of times. I've gone astray, I lost my way, made the worst of my mistakes. It may be over, but I ain't through. You'd be surprised what a dead man can do. I've been a fool, a fallen saint. I've been a bastard, I lost all face. And like a martyr, I bore my cross. I did my penance at quite a cost. Just come a walking, hit in my shoes. You'd be surprised what a dead man can do. Bottom, just certain death. I had good reason to just let go, but I'm too stubborn to give up hope. When you got nothing, how can you lose? You'd be surprised what a dead man can do.
Wow, yeah, it's so great. Oh, I love this song.
Cool, I'm glad you like cool.
Yeah, so I wanted to show some of my favorites, but let's talk a little bit more about Black Valley. Is this an album about, I mean, is it like a concert album? Like, do you have like one theme for it, or? Or just fruit of your compulsive songwriting, as you said. I like that.
It was. I don't think that I think in grand enough terms to have a concept record. but it's I think that I naturally gravitated towards songs that kind of fit my mental and emotional state, and probably a whole lot of other people's, when things just started to close down. and just not make sense. And so it's not maybe as aggressive as White Crow, the record I did before, in some ways, but in other ways it touches different buttons, you know. It's, you know, I don't really try to, I've realized like the best way to progress and to do different kind of things is just to stay true to your current state of mind. And at the point that I get into a concept thing or thinking longer term, I'm starting to second guess the whole picture. And I don't think that there's a reason that a song takes 3.5 minutes. It's because it is a complete thought. It's a contained picture. And I don't think it's healthy to think too much about the artistic part of being an artist. I'm very careful about being staying away from anything that makes me feel vaguely pretentious, you know.
Right. I see. So the world.
And also, you know, yeah. a song isn't meant to have any particular meaning. You know, it's a song is completely subjective, you know, to the listener. And that is what a song is supposed to be, is it is supposed to mean different things to different people. You know, so to one person, it means I'm not going to take shit from my boss. And another person, it says, I'm not going to take shit from my lover. And another person is thinking, I give too much shit to my kids, or I do, you know, I'm not nice enough to this. It's like any given song can be interpreted, and every interpretation is a valid interpretation of what the song's about. How dare me to say about, you know.
But if the artist, I mean, because that's one thing, as a songwriter, for instance, you are very often supposed to, you're expected to talk about what the song is about. And then you're kind of like, even if you're sending press release or you're being interviewed, you get asked about what the song is about. I mean, I did that to you now as well. And then you will be actually defining what the song is about. And then you kind of take away the possibility for people to interpret it. Do you think that's a problem?
I think it is. And that's why I say where the intention of a song comes from. But at any given time, I can give a completely different interpretation about that, what that song's about, because it's about mm-hmm. different things to me too. I think that no great work of, you know, whether it's literature or, you know, or songwriting or anything like that is locked down to presumption of I'm telling you how it is. How dare you? Nobody's going to tell me how it is, and nobody's going to tell you how it is. I'll decide how it is by reading what you've written to me, and I'll tell you what the song's about. I bought the fucker, not you. You know?
Yeah.
And that's, I think that, you know, I think everybody, you know, claims music for their own. And no song, the same way that you know, the same way that you can go into like an argument with someone, and a lot, you know, that argument can actually, the seed of that argument can be from something aggressive that happened to you 5 minutes before. And you bring that anger from, you know, being attacked that way or being hurt that way into the next conversation. And you kind of do that with songs too, when you do that with, and you realize, wow, I was too over the top with that because someone was just over the top with me. And I think that, you know, all of those elements go into writing a song. You can be writing a song and all of a sudden the, you know, it's a love song and the significant other that you're writing about becomes a little bit meaner because somebody just stepped in front of you in the grocery store in line. And you put that aggression into that song, or you're feeling a little bit, you've had 3 glasses of wine and you love the world And all of a sudden, like, you're willing to forgive the person in that song. It's subjective, all those things constantly.
But I think this subjectivity and this tendency to talk, to have songwriters deconstruct their own music, I think it's a problem of music journalism. And it's actually a problem of, I think it will always be a problem to talk about music, because music is already enough in itself. I mean, it's already a language that is so much older than even our species. And then when you're supposed to start talking about it, you're in a way just making it less than it is, or you're just like defining it for the listener why the music could go directly to soul.
You're failing also. To describe something adequately is by nature
it's already understood. I mean, your music goes directly to the hearts of people. So why do we need to talk about it? But still, exactly. We want to talk about it.
Yeah, I think it's like, you know, it's I try to consistently just tell the truth, you know, and the truth is subjective, and the truth changes all the time depending on your viewpoint.
Yeah.
And you know, one time you're a bastard because you know, and you feel like tough shit because you just told your boss to fuck off, and you're coming from that strong standpoint. And then your kid says something to you and you're ready to break down in tears because they just kind of, like, you know, pointed at the inference that you're wearing no clothes, you know. And it's like, you know, that's, you just tell the truth at that point. And that's all you do.
So if somebody asks you, what is this song about? Your answer can be different every time. Or it can even be, you know, this song can mean whatever it means to you right now.
Exactly. And it's like, and the basic, you know, the real answer, and if I gave it, it would make interviews really short, which is, you tell me. I just wrote it.
You but that's okay. That's okay. You can say that to me. I'm just interested in, like, what would you be your take on like, how should we actually talk about music? If asking about, like, the lyrics or something would just yield very confusing and different answers. Like, what do you think? How do we deal with this? Because there is no way of getting music out there without actually adding a textual, you have to either add, like, a lot of fancy photos or a lot of, like, content about it. But how about the music itself? What do you think?
I think a literal way you can describe music, you can say what the contents of it are concerning the instruments, and then the rest of it is all subjective, whether or not you believe the singer, whether or not they're even worth believing, because you don't really care if gummy bear, you know. It's like, you know, whether or not it's pertinent in your life. Mm-hmm. You know, if it you know, and also you're, you know, it's completely justified 2-3 years later to say, I can't believe that I used to listen to that. Mm-hmm. Because it makes no sense in your life now. You know? And that, you know, I you know, the best thing you can say is that, like, I love this song, or I hate it, or I hate it but I can't stop listening to it, or you know, you can explain how it makes you feel. And then if people know you well enough as a journalist or as a person that they you know, basically want to hang out with you, I mean literally, you know, not literally but through literature, you know, they like your point of view, they'll trust your point of view. But when you say to a friend, you know, if you hear something new, you just say, you have to check this out, you have to listen to this. I usually don't try to say, you know, this is blah 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 blah. I just say, check this out, you have to listen
it's so good. I think people care a lot about the person behind the work as well. Like, they like to see people who are, if they have a scandal or they have an interesting story or they have a cool personality or they're really open about their feelings. And
I think
is it part of the work or is it separate from the work? What do you think?
I think it's a dangerous part of the industry, and I think like throughout the history of music and popular culture, with popular music, the things that have made music alternative or underground or whatever you want to call them, have kind of traditionally been music that's more honest. You know, because when, you know, in one way, there's in pop music, you know, like in really like commercial pop music, it's not so much that a fan of that wants to know more about that person. They want to be fed the dream more. They want to see more of them being like what they hope they are, you know. Uh-huh. And I think in more alternative things, you actually just want the truth. You know, if you don't fuck around with me, I'm probably going to like your music.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's, you know, so I think it's the same with, you know, with mass media. Anything that's going to appeal to that many people, you have to take away all the honesty, you know, to take away all the rough edges and everything. The very nature of that is lying, in a sense, but not if you're selling a pop dream. But I think in other music, for me, it's like I'm like a working class kind of guy. I like the job. I like making music. I like performing. I actually the work and stuff like that. Interviews, I'm not very, I don't follow the game plan. You know, I'm not good at it. It's the same with promotion and everything like that. You know, I pretty much, you know, In the early days when I was making records in like the 80s and the 90s and even the early 2000s before digital stuff and they could edit stuff, I pretty much made the mistake of saying fuck in every interview I did. I pretty much made the mistake of, you know, I'm not, those sides of things have never really been my focus. I want to build the pyramid. I don't want to stand on top of it.
But here you can be yourself in my show on this very good radio station.
Well, that's one of the nice things about, you know, it's also coupled with the fact that people are much looser about it because it does happen so in such a different way than it used to, you know.
Right.
There were like radio DJs, quote unquote, and they talk like this and had this, and it was, you know, and then FM radio was traditionally underground, and that's where you got people who talked more like real people, you know. But still in those days, you got in a lot of trouble if you swore or if you, you know.
Really? And now we're back on FM again.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, you can swear as much as you like. It's all fine. Well, even on the podcast version.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Yeah. Cool.
Not that I have overt desire to swear, but I don't like censorship when it deals with vocabulary.
Yeah, let's not put any censorship on you. let's listen to another song. So now you tell me which one. Something from your upcoming album would be nice.
Okay. Maybe I'm really bad at this kind of stuff. Maybe Without Love. Yeah, maybe Without Love or Crossed My Heart or Angel Town. You can pick either one.
Okay, so we choose Without Love.
Okay, yeah. This is definitely, we walked in the morning. This one I wrote a whole lot of it as I went along, you know, or right before we recorded it.
Yeah.
So.
Great. Okay, so let's listen.
It's a weird song. I never learn my lessons. I never hold my tongue. I never make excuses for the things I've done. I never take for granted everything I've got. I never waste a tear on
anything I've lost. Dust to dust, if I must, I must without love. Ask me any question, I'll always tell the truth. What's the point in lying? I've nothing left to lose. I've told you all my secrets, I've nothing left to hide. Try and cut me open, take a look inside. Dust to dust, if I must, I must without love. Dust to dust, if I must, I must without love. Yeah.
Yeah, I really, really like that song. It's the first time I heard it. I love how expressive you are in your singing as well, and how you like, it's like almost like alluring, like malicious and bitchy kind of using the voice.
I had a really bad hangover that day, and and I was just. It actually sounds like it too. I do sound like a little bitch.
Yeah, but then you have the contrast as well, you know, like your deep, really, really steely voice as well. I mean, it's really, really great. Yeah, I like it. How do we talk about this song then? How do you, did you come up with the chords first or the lyrics, or how did it come about?
A lot of the performances actually out of me just trying to figure out what I was doing, and I played around, you know, I'm constantly playing around with chord progressions and parts and everything like that, and I'll do three or four different versions of a song with completely different lyrics and completely different, until it morphs into something completely different. And it was actually just the next song in the pile of paper that I was going through. And we just said, fuck it, let's do it. And there was just something, it, like I said, it was a hangover song, and it emotionally, it made sense. It made a song that is kind of like, you like, you know, that kind of like, I can't believe I just did what I did. Well, if I'm up, it's okay. If I'm dropped, it's okay. And that was kind of the nature of the song.
It's great. it will be so cool when the album is out. Beautiful. I also wanted to ask you about Exit. You have composed music for Exit. That's amazing. Tell us about it.
Yeah, it's I've done a lot of music for Exit, and they're using I think we're using like maybe 3 or 4 Leadfoot tracks, and but then there's a lot of music that I wrote that in a lot of ways steps outside of Leadfoot, because Leadfoot is so much about my 12-string guitar and my relationship with that guitar. And this stuff kind of gave me an open palette I could use, you know, whatever I wanted, and not really kind of stick to the confinement of the musical persona that Leadfoot is. And so, and it was also fun because, you know, the whole TV show is about, you know, the worst people you'd ever want to meet in your life. You know, they're just such horrible people. So I really got to write songs that were just, you know, that you just said, okay, you know, I'll just say whatever I want, you know, without conscience, without, you know, just put myself in their heads. And so it allowed me to write to explore a lot of different stuff. So, and we're going to start, I think the first single for that will come out next week.
Yeah.
Or this Friday.
Unfortunately, we can't play it here because I don't have the, I haven't cleared the rights for it. So if you want to show some of the themes with suboptimal quality through Zoom, that would be very nice.
If I would, I could, but I can't.
No.
Because I've only got things in really raw states that are we go through a process of back and forth where I send because of the remote days. So I never at any one time have all the files together.
Oh yeah, no, I meant if you wanted to do some on the guitar.
If
not, we can listen to something else. That's also fine.
Yeah, let's listen to something else. I'll be honest. You know, the stuff for Exit. When I write very fast, and I write a lot, and I do most of it in my head, and I don't like doing a lot of takes, so I usually only do 3 takes at the most, which means that I never actually learn anything. I mean, I have it in my head, just like you do when you were a kid. You used to study for a test and say, if I can remember these answers for a half hour, I'll be okay. If I can, you know, That's kind of, it is how it is when I record. I kind of construct everything in my head, and then as quick as possible, play the bass parts, do the vocal part too. But I have to relearn the songs after.
Oh, this is so interesting. So when you played that, it was like an hour concert. That was actually, that took a lot of rehearsing then. I mean,
I do a lot of shows, the stuff that, you know, Leadfoot things that I tour with, and I do, you know, I do like, I can do 70, 80 shows in a year. But even when I do shows, I never do the same thing twice, you know, right. Because I don't have a band to worry about. So I can completely mess up arrangements and change arrangements and do a song in a different tuning. And with a different emotional content, because it keeps it makes sense.
That's wonderful. Yeah. I mean, you really know your instrument incredibly well then. Wow. But also like the chords are very close to like the feelings. Is that like an open road to you? Can you just like translate consecutively or simultaneously even between like your emotional state and chords?
I'm an old fucker. I've been playing guitar for 48 years,
mm-hmm.
50 years, maybe 50 years I've been playing.
Wow.
And I started making records in the late 70s, you know, and working in the studio. So I'm confident at what, you know, at a lot of, I can play a lot of instruments, and And I did a lot of session work. I've done a whole lot of session work. And when you do session work, they don't want to wait for you to do it three times. They just want you to do it. And so you start thinking that way about your own stuff too. And you don't want, you just don't want to waste time. And you also, I think when you play longer and you perform longer, you realize that all the things that drive you crazy about your own performance are completely unnoticed by the listener. As long as you're in tune and you tell the truth, then it's a good performance. I'm sorry, that's a good performance. That's all. I work with so many singers and stuff, and it's like, just tell me the fucking truth and do it in tune and in time, and you're gonna break. I'm gonna love you.
Yeah. But it takes a certain degree of confidence to not be, to stay into it and not start looking at yourself from outside and criticizing. I mean, how do you get into that kind of?
You have to trust your that's and it's different for everybody, but for me it's like, I don't, if I try to pretend, I really fuck up. But if I just don't try to make more of something than what it actually is. And usually in when you're recording, usually the less you make of something, the better it is. You know, in a lot of ways, it's like I can deal with about 30 seconds of Mariah Carey's, and I want to run and hide. And it's just because it's like has nothing to do with breaking my heart. I don't want you to show off for me. I don't want to hear big notes from you. I don't want you to like be the best in the world. I just want you to break my heart, to make the hair stand up on my arms. Can you please do that? And when you do that, you don't do it by like screaming and shouting and jumping around. You look somebody in the eye and do that, And that if you do that with performance, you don't have to worry about the details, even though you do, by nature, you'll still worry about them, But you just have to trust yourself,
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. Well, thank you so much. I think we're almost close to the time for wrapping up.
Okay.
Do you wanna say something more, or should we just jump to one more song?
Just thank you for having me on. It was nice to talk to you.
Yeah, you let me know if you want to come back sometime when it's possible to go into the studio. You'd be totally
welcome. That'd be great. Things work much better for me when it's not virtual. So I would have loved to have been there, but I just.
Yeah, they don't.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's wonderful. Let me start another song again. So which song should we round off with?
I guess maybe Crossed My Heart or Angel Town. I don't, I haven't listened to the record since I made it, so I'm yeah, maybe.
I will put both of them and then we see how much time is left, okay?
Yeah, that's great.
It's great. Okay, thank you so much for being here with me today. Tim Scott McConnell, also known as Leadfoot. It's been a pleasure, and thank you so much for letting me play this music here.
Thank you so much, and I hope everybody enjoys it.
Okay, so here is Cross My Heart and then Angel Town, if we have time. Thanks.
Okay.
As they come, of everything you think I've done, but there is one above the rest. The wicked thing that I did best, I set a fire. My one desire burned to ash and therefore never. Tell myself most every day, it's time to throw the past away and break these chains of loss and guilt that bind me to a broken will. Stuck here in between reality and some bad dream, in which I'm neither here nor there. In fact, I'm never anywhere.
Can't drag you down. In Angel Town, I dreamed last night. Everybody helped each other. You got a bigger piece and spread it round. In Angel Town. In Angel Town. We'll be right back. part of something bigger, a part of what we're really all about. In Angel Town.
Spell.